Now it's the top of the fourth, and the Mets open up against Zachary, and the first man up is Tim Harkness. He takes outside ball one. Harkness batting against the right-hander, batting for the second time. He walked the first time up, and the next pitch is lined in the right field, a base hit. Coming over to pick the ball up is John Pashorek, and he throws it on in, and Harkness has his base hit, the second, make it the third base hit off the right-hander in the ball game.
Nine,
Mets now have the time run at first base with Jim Hickman coming to bat. That ball was hit so hard that the second baseman, Joe Morgan, could move only about a step before the ball was by him. Hickman batting for the second time, struck out his first time up. And his first pitch is fouled off to the right side, out of play. Strike one. Jim batting 229 with 17 home runs and 51 runs batted in. Well, the grand old man of baseball, two great players playing today. One in his final game, the other one, who knows how long he can go, Warren Spahn. And he pitched a shutout today, 2-0. Another shutout for Warren Spahn, his seventh this year. Here's a foul ball hit into the dugout. Strike two. Also his 62nd shutout in his major league career, and Warren won it over Chicago by a 2-0 score. He beat Bob Buell, and Warren pitched a four-hit shutout. He makes this game look mighty easy. The other one, of course, making the game look easy for 22 years, Stan Musial. And this will be Stan's final game today. He already has one hit and two times up. We'll bring you up to date in his final totals when that game is completed. Now the pitch back to Hickman outside. One ball, two strikes. Right here, the Colts lead 2-1. The Mets have the time run at first base with no one out. Jim Hickman, the batter, against Chris Zachary. Now at 1-2. A let-up is hit slowly down to third base. A tough chance for Bob Aspromonte. He picks it up, throws to first base, not in time. Aspromonte making a good play, falling down after he threw the ball, but not picking up the runner as the throw arrived about a half a step too late. Moving on down to second on the base hit is Tim Harkness, and the Mets now have runners at first and second base with no one out, and the batter is Joe Hicks. Joe, a left-hand batter, flat out to right field his first time up. Joe batting 232. Infield looking for a possible bunt here. Time runs at second base with no one out to go ahead run at first. Last day of the season. Doubt if he'll be bunting. Now the pitch. It's inside. It's ball one. Hicks not squaring around. One ball, no strike. Joe with five home runs and 22 runs batted in. Standing right on top of the plate. Now the pitch. It's high and outside, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Jim Umbrick warming up in the bullpen for the Colt 45s once again. He's a right-hand pitcher. Chris Zachary taking the signs from Johnny Bateman. Now he takes his stretch position. Looks at second base, comes back to Hicks. And the fastball has popped up on the infield. An infield fly. Batter's automatically out. Bob Aspromonte had to chase that one down after the wind got hold of it. But, of course, with the sign given by the umpires, the batter was out no matter what happened. Runners, of course, had the choice of advancing after the catch at their own risk, or if there's no catch, the same. So Aspromonte comes up with that one for the first out. And the batter now is Choo-Choo Coleman. Colt 45s have two runs and one hit. The Mets have one run and four hits. One man out, top of the fourth inning. Coleman grounded out to first his first time up. He's a left-hand batter, batting 176. Choo-Choo has driven in eight runs this year. He has played in a total of 105 games. This is his 106th. And a curveball is looked at. A good one at the knees. Strike one. Chuchu's had 43 base hits and 246 times up. Of those 43 hits, he's had three home runs, no doubles, no triples. One strike pitch, curveball bounced in the dirt, blocked by Bateman. Ball bouncing in front of home plate, and the runners hold. Tim Harkness on at second base. Jim Hickman on at first. Both arriving as a result of base hits. The Mets with a total of five hits. Make it four hits. They had two in the third and two here in the fourth. One ball, one strike. The on-deck batter, Al Moran. Now Zachary takes his set position. And his pitch. Curveball outside, ball two. Two balls, one strike. Zachary, as Lindsay told you, takes a lot off his curveball. It's almost a change curve. And it has a big rolling motion, big breaking curveball. For a young pitcher of 19, he has good poise in the mound. Now the pitch back. It's inside, ball three. Three balls and one strike, and Zachary now is a pitch away from loading up the bases. One man out, top of the fourth inning. Mets with a time run at second base. The go-ahead run at first. Now Zachary with the 3-1 delivery. Runners go. The pitch is hit sharply down off the glove of the second baseman. Coming around from second base to score is Tim Harkness. Jim Hickman on the hit and run goes to third unmolested. And Choo-Choo Coleman has driven in the time run. And the Mets have tied it up at 2-2. Coleman picking up his ninth run batted in on a 3-1 hit and run play. The ball was hit sharply right over second base. Joe Morgan, the second baseman, went over to backhand it. Ball hit hard off of his glove and went out into right center field. It scored a base hit, and now coming out to the pitcher's mound, Lumen Harris, and it's going to be a new pitcher in the ballgame. Lumen Harris taking Chris Zachary out of the ballgame. Mets with runners at first and third base and one out, and in 3 1/3 innings, Chris Zachary has been charged with two runs. He has given up five hits. He struck out three and walked one. Of course, the runners at first and third, his responsibility. Now, while we wait for Umbrick to warm up, here's Lindsay with some scores.
All right, Ralph, in the National League, at the end of four and a half innings, the Dodgers lead the Philadelphia Phillies by a score of 1-0. All right, Mahaffey started for the Phils, and now Jack Balchin has relieved him in the fifth inning. Don Drysdale is pitching today for the Dodgers, going for his 20th win of the season. The Milwaukee Braves have defeated the Chicago Cubs 2-0. Warren Spahn getting his 23rd win on a four-hitter. He's lost only seven. Spahn's 62nd shutout, his seventh this year. Bob Buell started, took the loss for the Cubs, and it was Burdett in the eighth inning. Henry Aaron hit a home run in the first with nobody on, his 44th the time with Willie McCovey for the home run lead in the National League. The end of four and a half innings, the Giants lead the Pittsburgh Pirates 1-0. Tommy Sisk against Jack Sanford. The end of seven and a half innings, the St. Louis Cardinals lead the Cincinnati Reds 2-0. Jim Maloney going after his 24th win of the season. He's 23-7. Bob Gibson going after his 19th. He is 18-9. The American League, rain along the eastern seaboard has caused the postponement of contests in Boston and New York. The Angels at Boston postponed because of rain. The Minnesota Twins at New York postponed because of rain. Going to the bottom of the seventh, it is the Cleveland Indians 2 and the Kansas City A's 1. Jim Mudcat Grant going for Cleveland. O'Donohue for Kansas City with Sturdivant in the seventh inning. Washington defeated Chicago White Sox 9-2. Detroit defeated the Baltimore Orioles 7-3. Now, once again, here's Ralph Kiner.
Okay, Lindsay, Jim Umbright, with a record of 3 wins and 3 losses, making his 35th appearance. He'll be pitching to Al Moran, and his first pitch is low, ball one, a fastball. Infield playing back for the double play at second and short. The first baseman and third baseman playing in to go either way. Runners at first and third, one man out. Time run to third base. Moran batting for the second time. Flight out to right field his first time up. He's batting 195. Now the pitch back to the plate. It's taken outside, ball two. Moran squaring around as though to bunt, taking when the pitch was out of the strike zone. On that play, a safety squeeze set up. Of course, with the safety on, the runner at third base does not take off with the pitch, and it is not a suicide play, so Moran has the option of bunting or taking. Umbright has pitched 75 and one-third innings. He has a 2.64 earned run average. Big tall right-hander. He comes back outside again. Ball three. This time a slider that's outside in low. So Umbright has thrown three pitches. He's behind 3-0, and he's only one pitch away from loading up the bases for Larry Benarth, who's the on-deck batter. Umbright now sets. And he comes to the plate, and he's on the outside corner, strike one. Umbright was originally signed by Milwaukee in 1959. He was traded to Pittsburgh for outfielder Emil Panko. He was acquired by Houston in the expansion draft. Now the 3-1 pitch fouled out of play. Strike two. On that play, Choo-Choo Coleman was running on the pitch in order to break up a chance for a double play for the Colt 45s. The count, three balls and two strikes. Jim Dixon now throwing in the bullpen for the Colt 45s. Jim, a right-hander. Score tied at 2-2. The Mets with runners at first and third, one out. Coleman easing off first. He goes. The pitch is hit. Is missed. The throw on down to second base is taken by the second baseman. And now they have Choo-Choo Coleman in a rundown. A throw over to Hickman as he moves off, and Jim gets back into third. On the play, as the throw goes over to third base, Choo-Choo Coleman goes into second. So on the missed 3-2 pitch, Al Moran was struck out. The throw on down to second base was taken by Joe Morgan, the second baseman. Choo-Choo Coleman had stopped three-quarters of the way down. Morgan had him in a rundown. And then when Hickman moved off third base, Morgan went over to third to try and pick up Jim, but the throw to third base was too late. So the Mets have runners at second and third base with two men out. And Larry Benarth coming up. Stolen base credited to Choo-Choo Coleman. Larry Benarth, the right-hand batter, tripled his first time up to left center field and scored the first run scored by the Mets. The score tied now at 2-2. And the first pitch to Larry is in the left field, a base hit. Coming in from third base to score is Jim Hickman. Here comes Choo-Choo Coleman. Here comes the throw. But the throw is offline, takes a bad hop over the pitcher and catcher. Goes up against the screen. Benarth now going to third base. The throw down there is not in time, and he is safe. So a single by Larry Benarth puts the Mets in front by a 4-2 score. Jim Hickman and Choo-Choo Coleman scoring. And on the throw home, Benarth moves on down to second base, and then an error given to allow Benarth to move over to third base. The error charged to the left fielder, Jim Wynn. The throw coming in took a very high hop over the top of the catcher's head and also over Jim Umbright's head, who was coming back of home plate to cover. So the first error of the ball game, the Mets lead 4-2. Those four runs are charged, all against the starting pitcher, Chris Zachary, and the batter now is Eddie Cranepool. Eddie singled his last time up. He is 1-for-2. Here's the windup in the first pitch to the left-hand batter. It's inside, ball one. Well, Larry Benarth now has contributed two big hits to his cause in this ball game. He has scored the first run and driven in the third and fourth run. The other run driven in by Cranepool, and he singled the left. Now a check in the swing, but not in time. Strike one. One ball, one strike. One ball, one strike. The pitch back, a curveball. It's outside. Two balls and one strike. Big right-hander into the swing, and now a 2-1. The pitch is hit on the ground down to the first baseman, Rusty Staub. He takes it, throws to Umbright, covering at first base, and that retires the side. In the inning, though, the Mets take over the lead by scoring three runs on four hits. There was one error, one man left on base, and the score at the end of four, should say at the end of three and a half innings, the New York Mets 4, the Houston Colt 45s 2.
Chug-a-mug.
Chug-a-mug?
What?
Chug-a-mug. Rheingold's new wide mouth container with a top that's so easy to open. You've never seen anything like it. You don't need an opener. You don't even need a glass. To open the Chug-a-mug, you pull the tab on the top straight out, straight up, and pull it off. Then you're all set to drink right from Chug-a-mug's wide mouth. Chug-a-Mug holds the same amount of delicious Rheingold Extra Dry as the 12-ounce can. Costs the same, too. There's no deposit, no return.
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Chug-a-Mug is a new way to buy beer. Better get some today.
Chug-a-Mug, what you say?
What a great way to drink Rheingold beer.
You'll find the new Chug-a-Mug wherever Rheingold Extra Dry is sold.
What a great way to drink Rheingold beer.
Mets lead 4-2. Larry Benarth now starting to work on Rusty Staub. And the first pitch is low, ball one. Staub shortening up as though to bunt. One ball, no strikes. Benarth now has given up two runs on one hit. A two-run triple by Johnny Bateman, the catcher. And Benarth comes back high with a slider, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Mets breaking out with three runs in the top of the fourth to take the lead. Larry Benarth driving in two of the runs. Now at 2-0, he comes in on the inside corner, a called strike. Two balls and one strike. At 2-1, a let-up is hit in the left field, a base hit. The ball going by the shortstop into shallow left field, picked up by Joe Hicks. And Rusty Staub is on at first base, and while we wait for the next batter to come up, Bob asks for money. We'll pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, where you hear all the games of the New York Mets. For baseball, the best in music, for comprehensive, reliable news reporting, stay tuned to WGY.
Bob Aspromonte is outside, ball one. Ralph Kiner, along with Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy from Colt Stadium in Houston, Texas. The final game of the year, the Mets lead 4-2. Aspromonte, the time run, and he hits the next pitch to right field, a base hit. Eddie Cranepool comes over, cuts it off on one hop, and he throws on in to Al Moran. The throw taken by Moran relayed to first base to Tim Harkness, but Aspromonte is safe at first. Holding at second base on the base hit is Rusty Staub. So two hits in a row now, and the Colt 45s are threatening to come back and tie it up. Runners at second and first base. Rusty Staub at second base. Bob Aspromonte at first. Colts now with three base hits, and the batter is Ivan Morrell. Morrell struck out swinging his first time up. He's looking for his first base hit in the major leagues. He's a right-hand batter. And the first pitch is bunted out toward the mound. Larry Benarth picks it up. He goes to first base, a high throw, and Morrell is safe. And moving over to third base on the play is Rusty Staub. On down to second base is Bob Aspromonte, and that is a base hit. Larry Benarth lobbed the throw to first base, waiting for Ron Hunt to get there. He couldn't fire away. The throw was too high, and Morrell, who can fly down the line, is safe at first base with a base hit. So now the base is loaded, no one out. The batter is John Pashorek. And Ed Bauta is now warming up in the bullpen for the Mets. That bunt was not especially good. Bunted out over toward the right side, about 15 feet from the foul line, but Burrell tore down that line and really moved. John Pashorek walked his first time up. He takes outside, ball one. He's a right-hand batter. He, too, looking for his first major league hit. Officially, he has not been a bat, although he has walked one time. Morrell with that bunt getting his first major league hit. There's a little blooper into left field, a base hit. Coming in from third base is Rusty Staub. From second base is Bob Aspromonte. The throw is cut off, and the Colt 45s have tied it up. John Pashorek getting his first major league hit, which drove in two runs to tie the score at 4-4. Moving to second base on the base hit is Ivan Morrell. Runner still at first and second base with no one out. And the batter is Johnny Bateman, who tripled in two runs his first time up. Bateman, 1-for-1, batting 207. And the first pitch to the right-hand batter is in the center field, a base hit. Morrell coming around from second base will score. The ball bobbled by Carmel, but John Pashorek holds at second base, and the Houston Colt 45s have taken the lead 5-4. And coming into bat in place of the pitcher, Al Spangler. That base hit by Bateman giving him his third RBI in the ballgame. He now has a total of 59 on the year, and Casey Stengel now out to the mound, and that's all for Larry Bernard.
That gives
Bateman
59 RBIs this season, which is a team high.
Five base hits in a row. No one out, and coming in from the bullpen in right field is Ed Bowater. Say, wouldn't right now be a good time to pour yourself a glass of Rheingold Extra Dry? You bet it would. So open up or order up a Rheingold Extra Dry. It's beer as beer should taste. In the bullpen now, in place of Dixon, Turk Farrell warming up. Five hits in a row, driving Larry Bernard out of the ballpark. Larry now going toward the right field clubhouse area. And in the ballgame is Ed Bowater. Bowater making his 47th appearance. He has worked 70 and two-thirds innings. He has an ERA of 3.93, his record 3-4. He has not picked up a decision while pitching for the Mets. His record compiled while pitching for the St. Louis Cardinals. No one out in the bottom half of the fourth inning. So Larry Bernard working a total of three innings officially. So far he has been charged with five runs. He gave up six hits. Five of them coming in the fourth inning. And while working on the mound, he struck out five batters and walked three. Ed Bowater will pitch to Al Spangler, a left-hand batter.
Batting for Jim Upright, number 21, Al Spangler.
Spangler, left-hand batter, with a batting average of 280. Bowater checking the signs from 2-2 Coleman. The score 5-4 in favor of the Colts 45s. The infield looking for the bunt. Spangler squares around. The pitch is low and inside, ball one. The ball got away from 2-2 Coleman about 4 feet, but he picked it up. The hold for Shorick at second base and also John Bateman on at first. Now Bowater sets again. Here's the pitch. A bunt down to third. A real good bunt. It might be a base hit. The ball allowed to roll. Juju Coleman couldn't pick it up. Neither could Jim Hickman. And Bowater finally made the pickup. It's a base hit. Two perfect bunts in this inning to help the Colt 45s. They once again have the bases loaded. Still no one out. And batting for the shortstop, Glenn Vaughn, is Pete Runnels. Pete Runnels, a left-hand batter, batting for Glenn Vaughn. Vaughn had struck out his first two times up. Pete is batting 252 with two home runs and 21 runs batted in. And he hits the first pitch to deep right field. Eddie Cranepool waiting there with glasses down. Tagged up, the runner at third base. He comes in to score after the catch. And moving over to third base is Johnny Bateman. Scoring from third base is John Pastore. And the Colt 45s now lead 6-4. An RBI for Pete Reynolds. No time at bat on the sacrifice fly. And with one out, it'll be Joe Morgan coming to bat for the third time. Joe has walked and popped up to third in his first two appearances. He's a left-hand batter. Morgan with six hits and 24 times up, batting 250. The first pitch is in the dirt. Dropped by 2-2 Coleman, but the runners hold. Ball one. One pitch in by Bada. Throw to first base. Harkness makes the tag too late on the runner there. Al Spangler. Now the pitch back, a swing and a miss. Colts lead 6-4, scoring four runs in the bottom half of the fourth after the Mets had taken the lead by scoring three runs in the top of the fourth. Now throw to first base by Bowater, but Spangler back. John Bateman on at third base. Infield playing in on the left side. And the pitch is in the dirt. A nice block by Choo-Choo Coleman. Ball bouncing way out in front of home plate and up against Choo-Choo Coleman's chest protector. One ball, two strikes. About a right-hander set. And his pitch, a curve, a check of the swing, but not in time. It's strike three. So Joe Morgan strikes out for the second out. That is the first strikeout for Ed Bauta. And Ed now will work to Jim Wynn, right-hand batting left fielder who has no hits and two times up. Wynn, the ninth man to bat in this inning. Here's the windup. The runner goes. The pitch is hit on the ground. Through in the center field of base hit. Johnny Bateman scores from third base, and Spangler goes into third base, and the Colt 45's lead now 7-4 on the base hit by Jim Wynn. That run charged to Larry Bonnard, so all seven runs in this inning go against Larry Bonnard. And that is the first hit after the bunt by Al Spangler that Ed Bauta has given up. And now Rusty Staub comes to bat for the second time in this inning. He singled the left field his first time up and scored the first of five runs that have scored here in the fourth. And the first pitch to the left-hand batter is off the glove of Choo-Choo Coleman, ball one. Coleman picks it up and the runners hold at first and third. Colt 45, seven runs on eight base hits. Mets have four runs and six. Two men out, bottom half of the fourth. Now Bauta sets again. Here's the 1-0 delivery, a curveball in the outside corner, strike one. Staub started the inning with a base hit to left, and before Larry Bonnard could get anyone out, Colt 45 had picked up five hits in a row. Now at 1-1, the pitch is bounced slowly out toward the pitcher's mound. Bauta picks it up, throws to first base, and that retires the side. Colt 45 send 10 men to the plate as they score a total of five runs on seven base hits. There were no errors. Two men were left on, and the score at the end of four, the Houston Colt 45 7, the New York Mets 4. Now here is Lindsay to bring you up to date on the baseball and football action that's taking place across the nation.
All right, Ralph, thank you very much. In St. Louis, they're going to the bottom half of the ninth inning now with the Cincinnati Reds and the St. Louis Cardinals tied two, and it's Worthington in relief now for Cincinnati against Bob Gibson, who started for the Cardinals. But the big story of the game there is that Stan Musial has played his last for the Cardinals because he left the game for pinch runner Gerry Kolb is out of action, and Musial's National League career has finished. In the first inning this afternoon, Stan Musial was called out on strike. In the fourth inning, he singled to center. In the sixth inning, he singled right, scoring flood from second and then left for pinch runner Gerry Kolb. So on his final day, Stan Musial went 2-for-3 in National League action. And now, by courtesy of our statistician, Mr. Matt Winnick, here is the career record of Stan Musial. 3,026 games, 10,973 times at bat. Musial scored 1,949 runs. He had 3,630 hits. He had 725 doubles, 177 triples, 475 home runs, 1,950 runs batted in, a lifetime batting average of .331 for Stan Musial. He was presented today with an 8-foot painting of himself by the Cardinals. Also on hand to witness Musial's final appearance, Ford Frick, Joe Cronin, Warren Giles, 15 of the Hall of Fame, St. Louis Mayor Richard Tucker, and Missouri Governor John Dalton.